Yeah, who names one of the hardest blues on their mountain Briar Rose? I mean, what a...
One, two, three. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the No Sidebar Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gardner, and I'm here to help you identify the things that stand in the way of building your online business. Together, we'll learn how to eliminate the unnecessary, increase conversion, design a better business, and build a more beautiful web. All right, so last week I spent some time sharing my journey from desk job to dream job and how that process encompassed that dirty word, fear. It's something that I had to overcome to get to where I'm at today, and it definitely didn't come without challenges. Today, I want to lighten things up a little bit, and I have a very special guest that I'm excited to talk to. Before we get there, here's something important I'd like you to know. No Sidebar is brought to you by Authority Rainmaker, a carefully designed live educational experience that presents a complete and effective online marketing strategy to help you immediately accelerate your business. Don't miss the opportunity to see Dan Pink, Sally Hogshead, punk legend Henry Rollins, and many other incredible speakers. Not to mention the secret sauce of it all, building real-world relationships with other folks. Get all the details right now at rainmaker.fm/event. And we look forward to seeing you in Denver, Colorado this May. That's rainmaker.fm/event. Well, after a conversation with his neighbor in 2008, my guest and his family decided to become minimalists and intentionally live with fewer possessions. They immediately cleared the clutter from their home and their lives. As a result, they found a better way to live centered on more important pursuits. It's been a journey of discovering that abundant life is actually found in owning less, and it still ranks as one of the best decisions they've ever made. His story has been seen on the CBS Evening News, NPR, the Boston Globe, Wall Street Journal, and countless other media interviews around the world. His book, Simplify and Clutter-Free with Kids, made him a best-selling author. Not only do I have the pleasure of having him on the show today, I also consider him a personal friend. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Joshua Becker. Joshua, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for making the time to be here.
Hey, it is a pleasure to be here, Brian. You're a good friend. You've been super helpful to me in life and online. So a pleasure to have this conversation. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, before we get into what you're doing and where you're at now, can you give us a little history of where you've been? I know you spent some time in Vermont and Nebraska. What's the prequel to becoming minimalist?
Yeah, happy to give you the backstory. You know, I don't know how far back you want to go. I grew up in the Midwest, South Dakota, North Dakota. Went to college in Nebraska. Got a degree in banking and finance, and then went to work at churches as a pastor. So that's a natural segue from finance into pastoring. But I started to work at churches. Nebraska, Wisconsin, Vermont, loved what I was doing, just being involved in people's lives. A pretty typical middle-class suburban lifestyle is what I grew up in and what I've always lived with. A number of pay increases and job promotions, bigger churches, bigger paychecks. Each time we moved, we bought a bigger house and more stuff. I just kind of live in this pretty typical American dream lifestyle that people would think of. And it was a conversation with my neighbor, as you mentioned, who I was cleaning out the garage on a Saturday morning. Son was alone in the backyard. He was 5 years old. And just this realization that all the stuff that I was owning was not just making me happy, but was actually distracting me, was actually taking me away from the things that did bring happiness in my life. And by that, I mean, it was distracting my time and energy and focus. And that began our story 6 years ago of deciding to own less on purpose. And Becoming Minimalist was the website that we started first just to journal our progress, and then eventually became a place where we hope to inspire others to find the same life change that we had discovered.
So the website is designed to inspire others to pursue their greatest passions by owning fewer possessions, right? Most of the stuff you write about on the site is that, owning fewer possessions, and the direct effect you think that has on happiness. So do you think this kind of mentality goes beyond what you own? Perhaps other areas in life are applicable to the same kind of thinking?
Yeah, I don't think we have any realization of how much of a burden our possessions have become until we try to remove them. And for me, it was, you know, as I was cleaning the garage and my son had spent all morning by himself, You know, I think we all know, or at least we would all say that we know our possessions aren't making us happy, right? Like no one ever says that they're looking for happiness in the things that they own. But for me and for most of us, it was a deeper realization that not only are my possessions not making me happy, but they're taking me away from the very things that do bring happiness and fulfillment into my life. And so the removal of them and the intentional decision to just own the things that I needed to fulfill what I need to fulfill in my life, it was one of the most life-giving decisions that we ever made.
I love what you said about our possessions and that we don't realize how much of a burden they become until we try to remove them. You also talk about the deeper realization that not only do these things not make you happy, they take away from the things you want to do. It seems like I always take ideas like this over to the world of design, and I guess that's second nature. Honestly, this is often how I feel about websites as well. For me, this was something that became so true of my own website. As I mentioned in the first episode of the show, it became evident to me that there were things that I had on my website which didn't belong and that I could do without. It's probably the same thing that you and Kim found with your possessions and the happiness you weren't experiencing as well. Well, speaking of websites, let's talk for a minute about yours, becoming minimalist. Tell us a little bit about how that got started.
The quick story is I started the website much on a whim. It was a Saturday morning, and the website began maybe that Monday evening, just as a, I'm going to start writing about what I was doing and what I was getting rid of and the things that I was learning. And there was no intentionality to it. It was becomingminimalist.wordpress.com. You know, it was free to sign up, and the domain was available. So I got it. Looking back, I'm probably only doing what I do now because I made that decision just on a whim. Obviously, we wrote for maybe about a year and a half. I wrote a post on belts. It was like 18 months. We had gone through our house in like 6 or 9 months, and I'm just trying to figure out what in the heck I'm gonna write about. And I just remember belts was the title of it, and I said belts. How come I never thought of that before? And started labeling the belts I got rid of. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I think I've written enough about myself here. And so the very next post was, hey, here's some things that I've learned about becoming minimalist. So it went from my journey and into, hey, how can we inspire others to find this? And then that's when the real growth of the website took off, you know, when it was less about me and it became more about the reader.
So some time goes by and you have this very successful website and things are going well for you. Traffic is increasing, your Facebook page is growing, and book sales are on the rise. And then I come along. I don't remember the exact story, but I do know that it happened on social media and I probably overstepped my bounds at the time. What I do know is that I wanted a challenge and to take something that was already minimal, in a sense, and make it even more minimal. So I thought it would be fun to hit you up and see if I can redesign for you. Now, one of the things I remember insisting on that we do for the site is remove the sidebar. You showed a little bit of hesitance at first because that was the only place you were selling your books. Honestly, I was a bit worried too at first since I was pitching to you such a radical change.
I'll tell you the exact story first because I remember it very well. We had started interacting a little bit on Twitter just about minimalism and some different things that I was writing. And you put out a tweet one day. You said, hey, I got bored today, so I redesigned my site or something like that. And I clicked through and I was like, I can't believe you did that in a day. Who are you? Because that's amazing. And I wrote back and I said something like, man, I wish I had, you know, the skills that you have. And you tweeted back and you said, if you ever need a redesign for becoming minimalist, all you have to do is ask. I said, well, I am asking. Let's do it. You were very helpful in the process in pushing me towards even a more minimalist approach than I had before. Even some things that, you know, I wanted to include besides the sidebar, where I remember you saying, hey, look, at some point you're gonna have to cut something out. Like you can't include everything if you want this to look as minimalist as you do. And so thanks for doing that. The sidebars were absolutely, I mean, my almost all of my income is from book sales. Just fortunate enough to sell enough each month to live on. And that's where all my income was coming from. The website would drive people to the books. We had two, I don't know if they're 250 or 125 by 125 ads on the side about the books. And and just sending people towards them. And you said, let's get rid of them. And I was scared to death because that's where all my income was coming from. We moved it just to links at the bottom of the post. And we did it just as a test at the beginning. Not that we were going to go back to a sidebar necessarily, but a test to see if we would still sell enough books to make it work. And we did. I mean, they've steadily rose. In fact, each month from the time that we did that, I was just looking at the numbers before we headed in here. And obviously, if it hadn't worked, we would have gone back to something. But it's interesting how that worked out. Certainly, the traffic, I think, has. I was just trying to think through, you know, if I could maybe put my finger on why that worked, why removing the sidebar actually became more financially beneficial and ended up moving more books. And you know, I think one of it is because the content becomes what the site is about. You know, I hop on these websites and up pops this, you know, sign up for my email newsletter, and I'm like, I don't even know you. Like, why am I going to sign up for your email before I just came to read who you are and what you have? And if I read what you have and I enjoy it and I find benefit in it and I find value in it, then I'm going to be interested in your email. But I'm never going to sign up before I've read what you have to write. And when we removed the sidebar, it said, okay, this is what's important. This is what I'm offering you today. This writing, these thoughts, my opinions, my worldview. If they resonate with you, then here's where you can find out more. And it's the calls to action, I think, have been minimized. You know, it's not, hey, you can do this or you can do this or you can do that. You know, it's, hey, this is what I'm writing. If you want to find out more, here's the books to help you pursue this even a little bit further.
Rest assured, my friend, I'm so glad that the book sales continued to go well. And I remember on a number of occasions, I wanted to email you to check in about that. And I figured that no news was good news and that the sales were going along just fine. Okay, so you talked about some of the email signups and things like that, and it makes me think of something I call intentional design. This is an approach to the web where we specifically place things where we think they naturally belong from the eyes of a site visitor and also from the psychology behind their visit. Okay, so moving along, becoming minimalist in my eyes is a great example as it started out as more of a fun blog and has become a job for you, something that you do professionally and take seriously on a number of levels. Do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners that are starting out as a blogger? I know folks who are starting out think of things like monetization, building an audience, conversion, and stuff like that. Do you have any words of wisdom for those types of folks?
You know, early on when I had my site and it was early and I was just getting started, and I remember thinking, okay, what can I do just to get more clicks on my site? And so I got like popular posts listed on the side, and there's, you know, archives by date, and you know, all these places where I was just hoping that someone would click so that I was getting more page views on my website. And that's all they were doing. And then additionally, you know, I'll come back to that. Additionally, Leo Babota, I think, says it very well about, you know, selling ads, and I'm okay with, you know, having ads on your site if they align with what you're doing. He said, what you're basically doing is you're selling your reader's attention. I mean, that's, you're getting paid to have this ad on your site, and in exchange, you are giving away your reader's attention to whatever company has paid you the money to put their ad there. What I think happens is we add all these things where we're trying to add more page views on our site. We're adding these ads because there's this little trickle of money that's coming in. And what we're doing is we're really just diverting our readers' attention away from what we spent so much time crafting and preparing and the writing itself that we're hoping is the one thing that has the impact on someone's life. And you know, that's I think how we build an audience. That's how we build a community, as we offer value into their life, and we're not diverting their eyes to all these different things on our site, but we're saying, hey, this is what I'm about. This is what I'm writing about. If you want more of this, you know, here's a natural next step. You know, I think some people would be nervous to put the books at the end of an article. You know, they want their books or they want their products you know, above the fold, as they say. I'm like, well, if someone's not going to read past the fold on your article, they're not going to have much interest in anything else that you're selling. So having it down there makes perfect sense. If they like what you've read and they like it all the way through, then they're naturally going to be, you know, interested in finding more about it.
One of the things I was pretty insistent about with the redesign was the use of a particular typeface called Proxima Nova. To be honest with you, I almost succumbed to fear about the whole deal, as I felt kind of weird asking the minimalist guy to spend money on typography. However, one thing I'll say is that the decision might be one of my favorite ones from a design perspective, because I think it helps make the site what it is today. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's a classic example of the designer knowing better than the owner. and granted, I gave you permission and I said, hey, tell me if I need to be spending money on this. But you were bold enough, and I'm so thankful. I mean, you were bold enough to say, hey, I think this is where you need to spend some money on your site. And I hope that you will. And we went back and forth on different color schemes and different things where you didn't, you know, you didn't hold to your original idea. You know, you let me speak into it, but that's probably just a message for the designers out there. Just to, when you need to exert your expertise, then do it. I couldn't be more happy with the font that we chose, and so thanks for sticking up for it, man.
Well, you betcha. That was my pleasure. Now, aside from having a professional relationship, we've also become really good friends. And to be honest, that's something that really means a lot to me. In fact, you and I recently spent a few days with Daryl Vesterfeld and John Schultz up in Breckenridge for the inaugural Brocation, which, by the way, we need to start planning for this year. Anyway, one of my favorite moments of that trip was the run we took that placed us unexpectedly at the top of a very steep mogul field.
Yeah, who names one of the hardest blues on their mountain Briar Rose? I mean, What a beautiful name. I was attracted to the run just because of the name, and had to convince you guys to do it. And we get halfway down and there's all these moguls. I've broken my shoulder on moguls when I was 18 skiing. And so, yeah, I mean, I was nervous. I was nervous for John. It was just his second day skiing, but he was more than good. And thanks for leading us down it.
And it wouldn't have made our vacation complete if we hadn't spent lots of time hanging out at a specific place talking about life as an online entrepreneur and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, no matter where we ate dinner, you somehow backtracked to Starbucks afterwards, no matter how far the walk was or how cold it was outside.
Well, enough about that. I'm sure our listeners know just how deep my addiction goes. Anyway, Joshua, thank you so much again for being here on the show. I'm so excited to see what this year holds for you. To our listeners, if you want to check out Joshua's website, go to becomingminimalist.com. And you'll find a ton of great content and a pretty cool minimal design by yours truly. If you like what you're hearing here at No Sidebar, the best way to support the show is to leave a rating and or comment over on iTunes. Want more? Check out nosidebar.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Each week, Allison Vesterfelt and I curate the very best and most interesting articles when it comes to designing a simple life. At work, at home, and in the soul. Until next week, this has been Brian Gardner. Ooh.